Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Would you please turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I am going to read verses 12 through 21. This passage could have had a lot of different titles given to it. I put down, believers are no longer in Adam, but in Christ. It could be the idea of that Christ is the new covenant head. He's the head of our family. It covers a lot. But my friends, as we spend time before the throne of grace, would you please follow along with me as I read Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. And my friends, hear the word of our God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. In verse 18, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now, the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, truly, may the Lord be praised today through the proclamation of his word. Would you pull this out of your bulletin for me? I tried to break down this whole section that the Apostle Paul was using as a teaching. And what I want to point out as I start, because sorry, the message is going to be long today, which was not my intent, but it is one thought. He's working through this. All of us are in Adam. We have the physical makeup, the genetic makeup of Adam. That's us. But for those who have trusted in Christ, now we have the spiritual genes, the spiritual makeup of Jesus Christ. Adam was our covenant head representing us in the flesh. Jesus Christ is now the covenant head in the spirit. So when we have communion, what do we remember? The new covenant in his blood, making him the covenant head of the family. Does that help us understand that? So what Paul does is he says, believers are no longer in Adam. You're now classified legally in Christ. And what does he do in the breakdown? He tells us that sin and death came into the world through the covenant head, Adam. And then what does he do? He points out what the result of that is. And you'll notice I showed he laid out a chiasm again, a teaching tool, a writing teaching tool that points us to A, sin entered the world through Adam. What was the result of that sin entering through Adam? B, it says death reigned through sin. Now, the teaching tool says, okay, what does that do? What's the result of death reigns through sin? B, with the star there, says death spread to all mankind. That's all human beings. And then A, returning back to that same thing, because all mankind sinned. All in Adam now sinned. Do you see the chiasm? And we're going to look at that and break that down. Once you know that, then what does he do? In Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 19, the Apostle Paul makes contrasts. He's going to compare A, B. He's going to say, Adam, Christ. He's going to do it five times. And you notice I broke that down. We see it in Romans chapter 5, verse 15. And he's going to, that's the first example of contrast, Adam and Christ. In verse 16, he's going to go Adam and Christ. When you get to 17, Adam and Christ. He's going to show you the negative from Adam, and he's going to show you the positive from Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see the contrast back and forth. And then finally, he closes with Romans 5, 20 and 21. This all happened before the Mosaic Law. And all the Mosaic Law did was make obvious the failure of Adam. It pointed out what sin really is. That's what the Mosaic Law came to do. So, Lord willing, if I talk fast enough, we will make it through our message today. So, as I start, I'd like to point out this as we start. All of us are bound up in Adam. He's our covenant head. And what I mean by that, he is your representative, if you like it or not. May I use an example? In the United States, we have a president. Now, some of us voted for that president and you liked him. Others of us didn't vote for that president and we don't like him. He's still your representative if you like him or not. And so Adam, if you like him or not, is still your covenant head representative. And so what has he done for us? He has passed down our fallen nature to us. We are all classified as sinners, and so it shows up physically and spiritually in our nature. What is the evidence of him being our covenant head father? The evidence is we are spiritually dead with no relationship to God, and we are physically what happens to all of us. We all die. That's the evidence that we have. Everyone dies because everyone is in Adam as our covenant head. And Paul is going to make this abundantly obvious in these passages. And so he is going to contrast Adam with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is our covenant head. And we're going to see that when we look into the second half of our passage and compare it with a bigger passage that even expands on what Paul's talking about here in Romans 5 in 1 Corinthians 15. So as we look at that, we are going to see that now, once you're in Christ, now you have been changed and you are now in a different state or classification. You are classified in Adam, a sinner. Now you're going to be classified in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be classified by God the Father as now being holy and righteous in his sight. If you are still living in Adam, you are not, and you are out of God's good graces. And so now, the reason I mention this is this, and I want to give you a little bit of a historical background with some other curricular information, all right? Throughout the centuries, many have attempted to minimize man's sinful nature, make little of it. Oh, it isn't that bad, and God's not that mad, all right? Well, one of the earliest men to try and to minimize man's sinful nature in the church was a British monk by the name of Pelagius. Pelagius was born in 354 AD, and he taught some of the early Christian churches what is classified now through the rest of history as heresy. Pelagius taught the early church about the goodness of man's human nature, meaning everyone was born innocent in God's eyes. The Latin term that was given to it, and hopefully I can say it correctly, is tabitha rasa. It's T-A-B-U-L-A-R-A-S-A, tabula rasa, and it means in Latin a blank slate, as in the old blackboards. Maybe some of you remember that we actually used a blackboard, and that it was clean. It was washed clean. Remember, some of you remember that, where we volunteered to erase the board? Never mind. Anyways, at the time, there was another man by the name of Augustine. He was the bishop or the pastor of Hippo, and he debated against Pelagius at a conference. It was known as the Carthage Conference, and it was at the end of 416 AD and lasted to the beginning of 418 AD. So it was more like 14 months. This pointing out that the biblical error, which he and his fellow pastors had been preaching, here's Augustine debating with Pelagius, "You're wrong." And so Augustine had pointed out at the Carthage Council that humans cannot bring or have a personal attaining righteousness by their own efforts. Pelagius, on the other hand, had argued for and taught men, yes, they can, because we were born innocent. In fact, do you remember there's a recent song, "We are all born innocent"? No, never mind. You get the idea, but that's the way the world thinks. We're not that bad. What do? We compare with each other. We've lost that we're being compared with God. So here, in this problem, the church council at Carthage condemned Pelagius and his fellow friends and pastors and forbid them to teach this anymore. And so hopefully, what we look now at the Romans passage, chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, we will see and expose that Pelagius was wrong. All right? Now, would you please follow along with me as I read Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. And for some of you, you may want to stick your thumb in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 right after that. Here's Romans chapter 5 and verses 12 through 14. And so this is going to tell us, show death, how death has come into the world and what has happened. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that'll be Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all, that's all inclusive, every single human being, because we notice there is nobody that's 2,000 years old. And so it spread to all men. And I'll ask the question there in the middle of the sentence, why? Because all sinned. Verse 13. For sin indeed was in the world. How? Through Adam, before the law was given. That had been another 1,000 years. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Huh. But what's the answer? Verse 14. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. By the way, that was considered 13 generations of people from Adam to Moses. And it is known as, if you look it up in times, you'll see it's known as the time period from Adam to the sojourn to Egypt. That's what it would be, the title would be, from Adam to the sojourn to Egypt. And so even over those who were sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. It's a reference to Genesis 3:6, who was a type of the one who was to come. Now, what we're going to see is Paul's reasoning in the chiasm that I put on the piece of paper. And all right, it's here. I'm going to put it in there. It says, sin entered the world through Adam. Now, this is what you and I need to know. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 7, it tells us that God had made a covenant with Adam. Hosea chapter 6 verse 7. God made a covenant with Adam. And this is what Hosea says. But like Adam, they, Israel, transgressed the covenant. There they dwelt faithlessly with me. Now, what was he referring to? What was Hosea referring to? Hosea was referring to that Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. And I'm going to ask you to read it along with me. It says, Genesis 2, 16 says, and the Lord God commanded the man. Well, what man was it? Adam. Saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, what would be the result of it? You will surely die. Imagine that. He broke the covenant. For thus, so this is what would be, it would be a spiritual break and a physical break. And so, what would be the result of this? This would be, we went from A in the chiasm, we're going to B. Death reigns through sin. If you flip the page in your Bible to Genesis 3:6, we see the story and the account of it. So, this is Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight in the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to take some or make some wise, she took its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. And then it says in three words, and he ate. What did he just do? He broke the covenant. That was back in verse 16, when the Lord commanded. This was Adam's actual act of sin against the Lord's command. He listened to another's voice instead of the voice of God. For those of you who are still in Genesis chapter 3, glance down with me to verse 17. Verse 17, Genesis 3:17, and to Adam, he, that is God the Father, said, because you have, what are the words there? Listen to the voice of your wife. Cursed is the ground because of you. He listened to another voice. He listened to some other advice instead of the voice of God. Now, we're going to go to B that has a star on the chiasm. B, death spreads to all men. We're talking about now, it's inclusive. All here means all, every single individual. And if you would, flip over the page, I want to give you an example. This is the first example we're giving of the result of sin and death. It's Genesis chapter 5. And I'm going to read 5 through 8. And this is the start of the example of the result of Adam listening to a different voice instead of God the Father. So here we're going to see Genesis 5, starting in verse 5, and it says, "Thus all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and what happened?" Yes, and why? He didn't listen to the voice of God on that covenant that God had made with him. Now notice what happens, and then Seth had lived 150 years, he fathered Enoch. Seth lived after he fathered Enoch 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 8, thus the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Why did I add verse 8? It did not mean only Adam. It was the beginning. Adam died because he didn't. Now his son, what we recognize as his son, died also. It was now going to be inherent upon all will die from Adam being the covenant head of all mankind. And so God had indicated death would come to all men, and here is the start of it, a text that we said, yes, I saw this happen. This is being made evident. And what was the problem? The last one, we return to A with a star in the chiasm, because all mankind sin. And the one that helped me was Genesis 4:8. Genesis 4:8 says, Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. So what was the problem now with Cain? Sin had come with him because of his father's disobedience. It was now evident through murder. It's the first account of sin being made evident. And the other passage in Genesis 5:8 was the first account. Now, the result of sin, death has come to all men. Do you see Paul's reasoning here? How he's working through this so that we have a better understanding of what's going on. And so yet, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and the law wasn't even there. It was now passed down to every single human being because Adam is our covenant head. And so what I want us to do now is go back to Romans chapter 5, and I want to read the last part of verse 14. Romans chapter 5, and it's the last part of verse 14. I will read the whole verse, and then what I'm going to be mentioning is Adam is a type. Adam is a type. But notice what verse 14, it's Romans 5, 14. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. We're talking 13 generations here. Even those whose sin was not like the transgression of Adam, referring to that Genesis 3:6 passage we just looked at. And so now he says, Adam was a type. Now your Bible might have a word pattern. Does yours have a pattern or a type? Okay. Of the one who was to come. We're talking about a type. Now why did the Apostle Paul indicate that Adam was a type of the one promised to come? First, Adam violated a command specifically given him by God the Father. That was the Genesis 2:16-17, making him a type or a pattern of failure. It's a type or a pattern of failure. Adam represents all humans who fail to worship God. Adam is the covenant head of the whole human race, evidenced by what? What would be the evidence that God said would happen if you don't listen to his voice? It was death. He said it right away. We read it. So, now that he's a type, what would be the second part now of this? That he's a type of the one to come. So second, Christ would fulfill all of God the Father's commands. If I were to change the words, he listens to the voice of God. Make sense? Christ listens to the Father, obeys the Father. So Jesus Christ is now what we know as the anti-type, meaning he is opposite of Adam. He's the anti-type. Adam is the type of failure. Jesus Christ is the anti-type of obedience, of success. And so Jesus Christ becomes the new covenantal head of believers. And Jesus Christ represents all believers, evidenced by his resurrection from the dead. And what is Christ's promise to all of his believers? Resurrection from the dead. Which is what? To the anti-type. The answer is what? The type is death for all in Adam, resurrection and life for all who are in Christ. Do you see where Paul's going? Do you see how he's laying this all out? I want to give a better and a longer explanation. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul, even though in our few verses here in Romans, just sort of leaves us there, but Paul explained this in greater detail to believers who were in Corinth. He wanted them to understand the distinction between, are you following after Adam? You're following in his footsteps. You know the end will be death. Or are you following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know the ultimate end in that will be that you will be resurrected from the dead, which is opposed to the covenant head of Adam. Now you will be under the covenant head of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be able to stand before the grace of God as he looks down upon you and blesses you and will be in his presence forever instead of being under the covenant head of Adam. And death would come about. Here's what Paul shared, the same truth, to the believers in Corinth. Would you follow along with me? I'm going to read through 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to start reading at verse 20. And he is talking about this. This is exactly what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21, for as by a man came death, who's the man? Adam. By a man, this is going to be Jesus Christ, has come also, what would happen? What would be the result of this second man? There would be a resurrection from the dead. Do you hear? He's talking about the covenant head of Adam brought death, and this new covenant head is what? Bringing life. Verse 22, because as in Adam, all, and he's referring to mankind, and the evidence of that, what happens to all of mankind? they die. That would be physically, and we know spiritually. So also in Christ shall all, that would be in Christ, what would we be? It's the last words in verse 22. Made alive, because you're now under the covenant head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23, but each in his own order. And so what does he do? He spells it out. Christ is the first fruits. That would be the first to prevail over death that was brought on by Adam. Then at his, that is Christ's second coming, those who belong to Christ. So Christ is the first one to be resurrected from the dead. We know that happened at the first advent. Now we are looking forward to the second advent when all of us will be raised or resurrected. When believers will prevail over death at the second advent. Notice what verse 24 is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then comes the end. When he, that's Jesus Christ, delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. Do you see what he's saying? Jesus Christ is ruling now in the hearts and lives of every believer. And that we will be delivered over into, in its fullest state, the fullest presence being seeing God face to face. Verse 25, because he, Jesus Christ, must reign, that would be from the first advent, until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death because of Adam, the covenant head. You are in Adam, you are dead in your sins and your trespasses. You were born in it. Meaning, Adam failed to obey God the Father. But Jesus Christ prevails because he does listen to the voice of God. The curse that was brought on by the first covenant head, Adam, didn't listen. We know that from Genesis 2:16. And the curse was started. Everyone dies. And so now, what do we hear? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 27. And so God has put all things in subjection under his, that's Jesus Christ's feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he, that it be God the Father, has accepted to put all things in subjection under him, that it be Jesus Christ. Verse 28, when all things are subjected to Jesus Christ, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the Father, who puts all things in subjection under Jesus Christ, that God may be all in all. The language flips back and forth saying, this is God's purpose. Adam blew it. He was a type of failure. Jesus Christ is a type of success. He prevails. He listens to the voice of God. And when Jesus Christ has now turned all of creation around and has brought all the believers, the elect, into his family, then at that time, he will hand us all over to the Father and say, I have been obedient. I have been the covenant head of the family. I have drawn all them to me. They come to me. They obey me. They follow me. I've given them my righteousness. They are now holy. And we are able to stand before the face of God. And so what do we learn from Paul? We will be resurrected as Jesus Christ was resurrected. He is that anti-type. He is opposite Adam. He represents all believers. Jesus Christ is the covenant head of you and me, and that all of us who trust in Christ will be raised from the dead because you are now under the covenant head of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not saved, you are still under the covenant head of Adam, and you will not be resurrected. You will then be brought into, Scripture talks about eventually into hell, into an eternal damnation. And so, if I talk fast, I can do the five. That's bad. This is what Paul does. He makes this contrast back and forth, back and forth. So if you don't get, he's saying, here, I'll prove it to you now. I'll show you, I'll make these five observations, and I'll show it to you. Watch what he does in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, where Paul compares Christ five different ways. Verse 15, but the free gift, which is Christ's righteousness, is not like the trespass. For if many, that's all mankind, die through one man's, that's Adam's, trespass, much more have the grace of God, that's his unmerited favor, and the free gift, Jesus Christ's righteousness, by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound. First, this is what he does. The Apostle Paul teaches us about original sin. All of mankind has died and will continue to die because of Adam's trespass. See how he's building on what he's just talked about? Adam initially died not because he didn't listen to God. Adam's sin only brought about a catastrophic result to mankind because Adam was not, because of Adam, we are all now sinners by nature and by now our choice. Our eyes and our ears and our minds are blinded to holiness because of Adam's original sin of not listening. Therefore, we don't listen either. And so sin has now become inherent in all of us, and God will send all sinners into eternal damnation at the second advent. Now, the contrast that he makes on verse 15. The Apostle Paul teaches that Christ's sacrificial death results in Christ justifying believers and giving them eternal life. They have received the free gift of God, unmerited favor, undeserved kindness, and the believer's salvation is a free gift given to us by the grace of God through Jesus Christ's redemptive work on our part. Do you hear that? It's by his grace, his mercy, his kindness that you're saved. It isn't because you did something. You can't do something good because you were in Adam, and you can't do something good in Adam. You have to do good in Christ, and Christ did the good for you. Notice in verse 16 now, Romans 5:16. This is number two. This is Paul's second example. And the free gift, Jesus Christ's righteousness, is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass, what did it do? It brought condemnation, that would be to all mankind, evidenced by death. But the free gift, that's Jesus Christ's righteousness, following many trespasses, even though there was many sins, what does Jesus Christ's righteousness do? It brings justification. You are now right before the face of God. So Adam's sin resulted in the rest of mankind being condemned already. And I want to give you a couple of verses. I will go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. I'll read them quickly. John 3:18. John says, whoever believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You're condemned already because you're born in sin. You're born in Adam. Verse 36. This is John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But listen to the vocabulary in this. but the wrath of God remains on him, because you would still be in Adam. So in contrast to Adam, Jesus Christ's gift of righteousness is not like Adam's failure. Jesus Christ's gift is imputed righteousness, bringing about a believer belonging to the family of God. Believers have been promised by God to enjoy God and his eternal life with him. Christ has removed the Adamic covenantal head from you. Christ, when you have trusted in Christ, believe Christ is the answer, he removes the Adamic covenantal head. Jesus Christ becomes the new covenant head. That's why when we have communion, we say this is the new covenant in him. That's when you have communion, you're remembering what he's done. He broke his body, died, because it was the part from Adam. Now he raises from the dead. Now he takes on the new covenant because he shed his blood, and we remember that, and that is what redeems us for taking away our sins. So Christ has removed the wrath of God from us, brought on by Adam, and now we are free, and truly we are free indeed. Verse 5:17 says, "For if because of one man's, Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundant grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man." So now who does it reign through? It reigns through Jesus Christ. And so on our third contrast, Adam brought death to all men. Our shortened life is all because of Adam. Jesus Christ, while all the others are believers, we have received from him abundant eternal life, which is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ prevails to listen to the voice of God. And so Jesus Christ is now our new covenant head. And so number 4 in verse 18, it says, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation to all men, all humanity, so also one act of righteousness leads to justification and life to all, as in redeeming men." Adam, who was the covenant head of all humanity, with his one act of disobedience brought condemnation and guilt to all humanity, everywhere and for all time. And in the same way, Jesus Christ's one act now grants righteousness and eternal life to all whom the Father has given to him everywhere in all time. I want to read from John chapter 6, where the Apostle John picks up the same thing, uses slightly different vocabulary, but is teaching the same thing. In John chapter 6, in verse 37, "All that the Father gives Christ will come to him, and whoever comes to Christ will never be cast out." Talking about eternal life. A little bit later, John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's resurrection language, in contrast to condemnation language. We have been resurrected in Christ. That is our hope. We believe this by faith as we look ahead to that day when we will be resurrected. And so the Apostle Paul has one more example. I find it, he repeats himself so often, it's like, do you finally get it? Or have I made my point? And listen to what he says. It's the fifth one. It's in Romans 5:19. "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many are made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Because of Adam's disobedience, everyone after him would be made a sinner in God's eyes. And this is why God regards the whole of humanity as guilty sinners." We already covered this, didn't we? A couple of weeks back, Do you remember when we looked at Romans chapter 3? I'm going to read Romans 3. I'm going to read verse 10, 11, and 23. They're short. We're in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. We already looked at it. He already explained this to us. This is no new stuff. He says, none is righteous. No, not one. In verse 11, Romans 3, 11, no one understands. No one seeks for God. I jump down to verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is known as imputing Adam's guilt upon every human being. Everyone after Adam has been born with the Adam's sinful nature, the Adamic nature. So in contrast, we can see Jesus Christ's obedience. Everyone who is found in Christ will be made righteous in God the Father's eyes. And the word made in our Romans 5:19 here means a change of your spiritual status. It's a change of your spiritual state of being. You were taken out of the state of being the unrighteousness of Adam. Now you have now the righteousness. You've been made righteous by the gracious gift, the unmerited favor, the kindness of God. It has changed. And so now you are now a family member of the household of God because you have been made spiritually right with God the Father through the redemptive work that Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf and gives it to you and me as a gift. That's why he keeps saying, it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. And so, Paul finally closes with this in verses 20 and 21. So, what was the purpose of the law? Now that we know we're all messed up in Adam, and now we're made right in Christ. So, why did he give the law? What did the law actually do? He says, now the law came to, and isn't it scary, increase the trespasses. But where the sin increased, grace abounded even more. So that as sin reigned, how? And it tells us, in death. Grace, that's God's kindness, found in believers, also might reign. Well, how? Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, leading to eternal life, which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the many reasons that God gave the Mosaic Law was to make evident the extent of man's sinful nature, which they had received from Adam, being the covenant head. And so, why the law? Verse 20 again, to make it evident. And that you and I need the grace of God. And then it does, it abounds in you and me. It changes you and me. It causes you and me to love God more, to worship Him, give Him the glory and the honor that is His. And so, the last part as we end, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign now. And it's through righteousness. When you and I listen to the voice of God, and we obey the voice of God, because now the Holy Spirit has moved into your heart, changed your mind. You start listening to the Word of God. You're obeying the Word of God. It will reign now in your life because you're now listening. You're not doing what Adam did. You're doing what Christ is doing, being obedient. And so righteousness now reigns in you. And that leads you to eternal life as you listen to the voice of God and you don't listen to the voice of Adam. My friends, shall we just close in prayer and thank our God for being so gracious? Our Father, what a weighty passage. Oh, what a weighty passage we have.